evidence of what the Bible claims are written by lawyers. So it's quite an interesting thing. I'm not sure what conclusion you draw from that. I think actually there's another question here which I'll give a similar answer if I get to it, and perhaps I can answer it at the same time, because there was a question in there about doubt, which I think is somewhat connected with it to some extent. One of the things, I think the Bible stands up extremely well to a rigorous review of its historicity. I mean, there are a number of books that are written on the subject, and I'd be happy to recommend anybody. But there are, it is remarkable how difficult it is to disprove what the Bible claims, where it's claiming things as historical facts, what it claims as historical facts. And the only way to figure that out is to investigate it for yourself and see what the result is. But I think the thing that I have found most helpful, and I suppose it's relevant to the doubt question as well, is that wherever I have doubt, or wherever I have the thing that I think is central to the claims of the Bible, because the whole Bible is about Jesus Christ. Everything that in the Old Testament leads up to it, leads up to Jesus. And everything in the New Testament is about Jesus and about him coming again. And so I have always found it very helpful to look first at the historical claims about Jesus Christ. Because I think if you focus on that, if you come to the conclusion that what's written about Jesus and the historicity of Jesus is true, then I think the rest of it's quite easy to believe, to be honest. But I don't think there's any substitute for actually going through it yourself. If that's something that you find either difficult to believe or have doubts about, but I think if you do that, you'll find that it stands up very, very well.
And in terms of reading through a gospel yourself, if you want to do that, just following on from what Mark said, on the table at the back there, we've got copies of John's gospel that you're welcome to take away for free. Have a read through yourself, and then you can email Mark with all your questions.
Forward it to Marcus.
You mentioned the reward of a wealthy home used for God's service. How is your house used in this way?
I think one of the things that I might say as a sort of preamble to it is that I think one of the things that I have struggled with most as a Christian over the years is how to balance family life with other things, work life and church life and everything else. And one of the things that I would say is, as sacrosanct as it can be, and those who know me well, if I were to admit that I don't always get this right, they would agree with this, is my family life. And I think that comes first, as far as I am concerned. My wife comes first, not in every aspect of life, after God, of course. So one of the things that I've had to think about, or we've had to think about, and it is a sort of joint decision with Susan, is how do we use our home? We have a family, we have three kids, and one of the things that we can't do is use our home as a drop-in centre for the local unemployed or whatever. That would not be fair on the children, and we have not done that. So I'm not going to claim anything dramatic, but I do think one of the things, if God gives you the ability to have a home in which you can entertain people, is just showing basic hospitality to people. People who are either in need or who need some encouragement or help or friendship or whatever it happens to be. So that's one thing that we've done as much as is consistent with not having our family life completely overrun. Second thing is, as it happens, we've been able to use it for a lot of things that the church has done, barbecues and all sorts of church meetings, which for most people are very boring and dull, but they've got to be held somewhere. So we have used our home for that as well, and lots of other different bits and pieces over the years.
Question about how has being known a Christian in the workplace had an impact on your role and your job? And that maybe ties in with one here about opposition. So you say you've been open about your faith in the workplace. Have you ever encountered any opposition in your openness, and have you dealt with that?
I think that there is no doubt about it that being a Christian, having a Christian perspective on things, should have an impact on your working life. I have always taken the view that as a Christian it is important that I do a good job, if you want to put it that way, in the workplace. And that I'm known not just as a Christian, but as a Christian who is good at his job, is conscientious, supports his fellow work colleagues, and that sort of thing, but is prepared to stand up on things that matter, whether they're ethical issues or people issues or whatever it happens to be. And I guess I would say that the sort of things I have done over the years have very rarely brought me into direct conflict with my employer or a client or whatever, as I've been in private practice. I don't know whether that's because it's fortunate doing the sort of thing I do that people have had a fairly high, have had fairly high ethical standards. But I think people have known where I've come from on issues and often haven't pushed me or have respected the views I have taken on issues. I think in terms of opposition, because I was a Christian, you get some. I don't think I've ever had really serious opposition, not the sort of thing you'd call opposition in China or wherever it happens to be. I don't think I would like to claim that I've ever been seriously persecuted for my faith. I think that would be putting it far too far. Have I had my leg pulled? Have I had remarks made? Has it occasionally been deliberately made difficult for me to go to a church meeting or whatever it happens to be? Yes, it has in my junior days. Fortunately, people can't stop me now, so that's all right. It's more that sort of thing, I guess, that I have encountered. But I think then it is a question of working out. One of the things that I unfortunately spend quite a lot of my time doing these days is, one way or another, helping people who are being displaced at Barclays, an event that happens with distressing regularity these days, for mostly good business reasons, but not always. That is something where, for example, I think, interestingly, I think I have been asked to do some of that stuff. I don't know whether it's because I'm a Christian, but or because the way I've handled those issues has been regarded as helpful by the organisation. May well just be the latter. But it is an opportunity. I think it does. I think you have, in those sort of circumstances, got to think: what do you stand for as a Christian? What's important? What are the priorities? People aren't just to be thrown on the scrap heap. People have, people are valuable. And I think as a Christian, you think of things rather differently on that sort of front.
Next question: how can you be confident that you have answered God's call on your life? So someone who's saying that they feel their focus has been wrong to date. So how can you be confident you have answered God's call on your life?
Before I fall over this. Good question. I think in a way that... I hope I didn't give the impression this evening that there's some sort of grand plan and you've just got to follow it, find it from somewhere. And, you know, if you don't find it, then somehow you've gone wrong in your life. That God has a set of priorities that starts at the beginning of your life. And, you know, that if you, by the time you reach 75, you haven't done, ticked off everything in the list, then you've missed God's priorities. I don't think it works like that. And I do think that the passage we looked at today and the rest of the Bible does talk about, as I tried to say, God's priority. What sort of approach do you take to the things that you face? Are you wanting to do things God's way, to be serving him, to be useful to him? And after that, I think you can let God get on with it and tell you, frankly. I think there are some things that you will want to rule out. But I think if you are being open and honest and trying to learn as you go along, as a Christian, I regard reading the Bible and praying regularly a very important thing. As you go along and you learn more about the way God does things, I think you do naturally increasingly adopt his priorities. Not perfectly, of course. And so I think I wouldn't say, how do I know that I have not put a foot wrong? Well, I know I have put a foot wrong. Has God corrected me on occasions when I have been tempted to do something that wouldn't have been the way he'd wanted to do it? Yes, absolutely he has. But, I mean, take an example. There was a job that I was once offered, and I talked about having wealth now, and all things are relative, and relatively I am wealthy, but had I taken that job, I would have been very, very wealthy indeed. I mean, like, mega wealthy. And I, at the time, thought very, very hard about it, and decided that what the Bible taught about the importance of my family, the importance of the work I was doing at the time in the church I was in on a part-time basis, I decided that the two were inconsistent with each other. And I couldn't, try as I might to convince myself, as I certainly tried at the time, that this was the right thing to do, I decided that I just couldn't do that. And that wasn't consistent with it. And at the end of the day, all sorts of things have happened since then to make me think that was absolutely the right decision. You know, just occasionally when you have a little doubt, you think, oh, grief, if I'd just taken that job, I'd have been retired ages ago. And something, God's just said, well, actually, you know, and I've something's happened that made me think, oh, I'm just very glad I didn't do that. So I don't know. I don't think there's a magic formula.
Our time is gone, so if your question hasn't been answered, you might want to just buttonhole Mark in the next few minutes. But